Thanks, brother. Amen.
Good morning. It's an honor for us to be here. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. Once again, my name is John Mark Catalan. My family, Christine, my wife. We have two kids, Jalen and Jasmine, 3 years old and 4 months old. We are sent out from South Charlotte Baptist Church in Pineville, North Carolina. It's in the Charlotte area. And we are serving with BIMI, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, as our mission board. It's the office is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We will be going to the capital city of the Philippines, Metro Manila. It's very crowded city. The traffic is very bad, and the population is, including the suburbs in the boundaries, it will reach to 21 million. So you can plant church there, even like half a mile away from each other, because there's like hundreds of thousands in just one community. And usually the one community there, we call it barangays. It's probably, sometimes it's only like smaller than 1 mile radius. I mean, 1 mile square. Sometimes it's smaller than that. And so you can plant a church in every mile of the city. And our desire is to go there, and our main goal is church planting, to plant independent Baptist church in the city. And now the background is 83% of the population are Catholics, 5% are Muslim, and 9% are different religious schools. So it leaves us 2.5% for the evangelicals. But on that evangelicals, they include the charismatics, the compromisers, and those things. And so I think it will be like 1% or less than 1% for the independent fundamental Baptists. So our desire is to go there and to start independent Baptist churches and to share them the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach them the true biblical way of Christianity. True biblical way of Christianity, because the Filipinos think that they are Christians. They say it's the only Christian nation in Asia, but it's not. It's not the biblical way of Christianity. So that is one of our desire also. Well, I would like to show you our video presentation. It's 5 minutes, and I pray it will be a blessing to you.
Located in Far East Asia is the beautiful country of the Philippines. It is composed of 7,107 islands with a population of 103 million. It is a country that is known for coconut, balut, and tricycles. Within this beautiful country lies a great spiritual need. 83% of the population are Roman Catholics, and 14% are different religious cults. It has been said that the Philippines is the only Christian nation in Asia, but it is not the biblical way of Christianity. The Philippines is a deeply religious country. Most people believe in God and Christ, but the Filipino Christ they believe in is either portrayed as an innocent child, the Santo Niño, or as a dead man on a cross, and not as the living Lord of the Bible. The people are so religious that they are willing to crucify themselves, believing that their sins will be forgiven. There is a great spiritual need. They need someone to tell them the truth. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God has burdened our hearts to reach the Filipino people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We are the Catalan family, and we are sent out from South Charlotte Baptist Church in Pineville, North Carolina, with the assistance of Baptist International Missions Incorporated.
I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 7 on March 24, 1997. It was at the age of 15 during a missions conference that I surrendered my life to serve God in full-time missions, and there God began burdening my heart for the people of the Philippines. God confirmed His calling in my life when I met and married my husband.
I got saved when I was 14 years old after I heard a message about hell. It was August 27, 2001. God called me into the ministry when I was 16 years old, and I have been actively serving Him in a local church since then. During my Bible college years, God confirmed to me where He wants me to serve Him, and He burdened my heart for the people of the Philippines. We will be going to Metro Manila, the national capital region of the Philippines. It has a population of 13 million, but the greater urban area has 21 million in population. Our mission goals are soul winning, discipleship, church planting, and training the nationals to do the same. We will also use any Christ-centered ministry to reach out to the people, such as music, sports, medical missions, and many more. John 4:35 says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest." The Philippines is open to the gospel of Jesus. The people are thirsty for the truth. Some might have gone before us, but we still need more laborers in the harvest field of the Philippines. By God's grace, we know the language and the culture of the people already. We don't have to go to a language school, and we already know the mentality of the people. Once we get to the field, we can start evangelizing the people immediately. We ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us in prayer and financial support as we do what God called us to do to reach the Filipino people for Christ. By God's grace, we are on our 25% of our goal. We are praying that will be done on our deputation by the end of next year. And once we reach our goal, we're ready. Actually, we're ready now. We know the language. We know the culture. We are excited to go back to the Philippines. 2012, we were there. We helped start a church there that is pastored now by my brother. My brother is a pastor, and my dad is also a pastor. Once we get there, they will be helping us in starting a new church. Our desire, Lord willing, for our first year, our first month, we'll fix our papers, look for a place, a house or a apartment where we can live permanently. And our Lord willing, we're praying for our first year that we can start our first church, Lord willing. So please pray for us. Consider partnering with us also. And thank you once again for having us. Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, please open it in John chapter 15, and I count it to be a privilege to share God's word to you this morning, but I won't keep you long. I heard this story, like a joke, that was shared by a pastor friend of mine, another pastor from him. So it's like a story that was passed along. One day, this pastor was preaching, and while he was preaching, there was someone at the back shouted, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" When he heard that, he got shocked. He was thinking, "Why did he just say that?" He continued. After 15 minutes, that person shouted again, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" He was like puzzled, like, why he is saying Pharaoh? He can say preach on pastor, preach on brother, preach on pastor, but why Pharaoh? He continued preaching. After 15 minutes, that person shouted again, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" So the pastor got done, closed his Bible, closed in prayer. After he prayed, he walked straight to that man and asked him, "Why are you saying Pharaoh? You can say preach on pastor, preach on brother, preach on preacher. But why Pharaoh?" The man said, "You know the Pharaoh in the Bible? He won't let my people go. So were you." So I won't keep you long this morning. John chapter 15, verse 12. And may I ask you if you're able to please stand up in honor of God's word as we read this passage, John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can once again study thy word. I pray that may you speak to us. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Ghost to move in the midst of us. Give us understanding, dear Lord. And Lord, may you use me as your servant to be a blessing to your people. Give me power, liberty, and clarity as I share thy word. Most especially, Lord, I pray that may you continue to be glorified this morning. And we promise that we will give to you all the glory and honor for everything that will be done. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all be seated. This passage that we just read is part of the Upper Room Discourse chapters. Upper Room Discourse chapters are John chapter 13 to chapter 17. Chapter 13 was where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Chapter 14 to 16, that was where Jesus taught the disciples. And Judas left already before he started teaching them. Chapter 17 is what we know, the highly priestly prayer of Jesus. It's a very beautiful chapter, if you read that chapter. On the first part there, Jesus prayed for himself. I think in verse 2, on the second part there, he prayed for his disciples. He said, I also pray for this that you gave me, for the men that you gave me. He's speaking about his disciples. And on the last part there, he prayed for the future believers. And that's where we are. It's a beautiful thought that while we were not yet been born, Jesus prayed for us already. That's a beautiful thought. Now, on this passage, in the very middle of the Upper Room Discourse, the very heart of the Upper Room Discourse, we will see this passage that we just read. And on this passage, there's a word that was mentioned three times. And that word is friends. Friends. Now, imagine with me. Here, on my right side, we have the world, the lost and dying world. And here on my left side, we have the truth. The truth is the Word of God, the Bible. We know that the Bible is verbally, plenary, inspired by God. There's no error in it. Every word, every comma, every period, everything are all inspired by God. By the way, I'm using a King James Version. All of here is the Bible is the truth, and we believe that the Bible is our final authority in our life. Meaning every practice in life, every decision, every doctrines, actually everything that we should do, we should always base it in God's Word because it is our final authority in our life. Those are the truth. There's a lot more. Salvation. Salvation is only by grace through faith to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever putteth his faith on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and accept Him as their Savior, that person is saved. And we also believe in eternal security. Once a person accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that person is saved forever. Amen. We have a saying, once saved, always saved. Once a person truly accepted, he remembered the day, he remembered the time that he accepted Jesus Christ, that person is saved forever. Eternal security. Those are the truth. Now, the world, the lost and dying world. We know that the world are destined to go to hell. We know that the world needed the truth. Now, what will be a way for us to be able to take the Bible to the lost and dying world? One of the way that we can take the Word of God to the lost and dying world is through friendship. Friendship. By God's grace, I just want to share to you two things about this passage that we can see. First thing here, on verse 13, it said here, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. The first thing that we will see here is compassionate love. The love that is saying here, greater love. This love is like a compassionate love. That is the first thing that we will see here. Now, if we study about compassion, I think this might be one of the meaning of compassion. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. I think this will be a good meaning of compassion. Now, I learned other meanings of compassion, and this is what I learned. Compassion is understanding the sufferings of others and wants to do something about it. Another meaning I learned is to remove ordinary boundaries so you can love beyond that you can love. Ordinary boundaries are your status in life, your pride, or anything that will hinder you to love a person. If you think about that, that is hard to do. That is hard to do. God's been good to us. God's been good to me. For me to live here in your country. I came here when I was 17. I'm 30 now. And I experienced the goodness of God here through your country. But here it said, to remove ordinary boundaries so you can love, so you can show compassion to the one that are unlovely. And you can include there also if you hate the person or if that person hate you. So it's hard. That's hard to do. When we were there, 2012, there's one family that we reached out to for Christ, a Muslim family. After they all got saved, the man, the dad, was persecuted by his former Muslim friends. When they noticed that he stopped going to the mosque, some of the men of the Muslim like connive and accuse him of something that is not true, and they put the man in prison and they got his only property, his land. In the Philippines, if you have a lot property, that's like gold, because every year it keeps appreciating. It's the price of lot there is like 3 times or 4 times more expensive compared here, because there's not that much lot in the Philippines. I'm sharing this because how can you love someone that will hate you like that? That's hard. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. We can do it. Compassion. God show His compassion to us. And that is by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ show His compassion to us. And that is by willingly giving Himself for us. We know the verse John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the compassion of God the Father and God the Son to us. You know the parallel of that verse is? It's in 1 John 3:16. It said there, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. So what should we do now? We should give our lives for the brethren, for the church. For us to be able to show compassion to the lost and dying world, first thing we need to do is we need to be compassionate to each other. To the church first, to our brothers and sisters. And then we can be effective in being compassionate to the lost and dying world. So, compassion. One more verse on this point. Jude 22, a familiar verse for us again. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And some have compassion, making a difference. I read this story, this illustration that is a very, really good illustration. And one day there was an elder man walking along the seashore. And while he was walking there, he saw thousands of starfish that was washed away on the seashore. A little bit far from him, he saw a boy, probably 9 years old or 10 years old, picking up those starfish, throwing them back to the sea, meaning he is helping the starfish. And that man, when he saw that boy, he observed that boy for several minutes, probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, he walked to that boy and asked him, "What are you doing?" What the boy said, "I am helping the starfish." The man said to him, "There are thousands of starfish here. What will be the difference?" What the boy did, he picked up another starfish and said to the man, "I will make a difference to this one." He threw it back to the sea. You know, we may not be able to reach the whole world. You may not be able to reach the whole community of Tarboro. I may not be able to reach the whole Metro Manila, Philippines. But if each of us will reach out to someone, share the gospel to that person, disciple that person, we make a difference to God. And of some have compassion, making a difference. You know, once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a missionary. One job of a missionary is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, reach out to someone, your neighbors, your friends, share the gospel to that person, disciple that person, you make a difference to God. Some have compassion, making a difference. I pray that this church will be the most Christ-like church here. You can be by being compassionate. God is looking for compassionate people. That is one of the requirements of friendship to God. Compassion. The second thing that we will see here in verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Second thing here is obedience. Obedience. This is obedience. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, the background of this passage is Jesus is teaching the disciples, and this is like the last night of Jesus. Within 24 hours, Jesus will be crucified. And he is telling his disciples, I am leaving. And I am leaving the work that I have started to you. So meaning Jesus is depending to his disciples that they will continue what Jesus have started. He's telling them, you are my friend, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We know what the disciples did. They obey God. And they turned the world upside down. The disciples are not here anymore. We are the ones that's here. And Jesus is telling us, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus gave us a commandment, and that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission, it is winning the lost and disciple them. Winning the lost and disciple them. As I mentioned and Pastor mentioned also, an American missionary went to the Philippines to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because God called him to do that, and he obeyed God. And because of his obedience, most of my family are in the ministry. Including my uncle, including my dad, four of them are pastors. And also my uncles. And my eldest brother is a pastor. My youngest brother is studying to be a pastor. My sister are married to an evangelist in the Philippines. And my oldest sister, there's five of us. My oldest sister is married to one of the deacons of my dad's church. So by God's grace, we are all in the ministry. And it's all because it started when an American missionary obeyed what God calls him to do. And God called me into the ministry also. And only eternity can tell how much impact your American missionary did. Once we are in heaven, you will see brown skin Filipino. Brown skin, skinny Filipino. there. So, what he did there, 1960s, it will continue to bear fruits. It will continue to bear fruits. So only eternity can tell. Because of that, of his obedience to God, a lot of people got saved. So I'm very thankful for that. So here, God is looking for obedient people. Obedience. God gave us a commandment to win the lost, the great commission, to win the lost and disciple them. There's a verse in Proverbs 25, verse 19. It said here, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Here, it's like Jesus is depending on us. Jesus is like putting confidence to us that we will continue what he has started. But it said here, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. Have you experienced tooth decay? Toothache, I mean? It's painful. Have you experienced for your ankle to get sprained? You know, sometimes I play basketball. For my height, I play basketball. But, you know, if you get sprained, it's painful. So it's like that. When you trust someone, you put your confidence to that man, you depend to that person, and they turn out not to be dependable, it's like a toothache or a foot out of joint or a sprain. So here, Jesus is putting his confidence to us. He wants us to be obedient. Obedient. So that is one of the, another requirement of friendship to God. Compassion and obedience. Now, on verse 15, we see here, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Henceforth, meaning after you have compassion, after you obey God, Jesus said here, you are not my servants, meaning slaves. You are not my slaves anymore, but I have called you friends. Friends, meaning that is a higher level of intimacy to God. A higher level of intimacy to God. And it said here, one of a benefit of friendship to God is, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. When God called me into the ministry, at first, I'm not sure the specific thing that God wants me to do. But during my second year in Bible college, that was where God confirmed to me the specific thing that he wants me to do, and that is to go back to the Philippines and share the gospel of Jesus. Now, if you are not sure what God's will in your life is, just be compassionate and obey God. Share the gospel to the people and obey God. And God will show you his specific will in your life. So, compassion and obedience. I will close this message by this thought. When you go to a cemetery, you will see tombstone. On those tombstone, you will see dates, two dates. The birthday and the death date. Between those dates, there's the dash. Now, that dash represents that person's life. If that person's live 30 years, it's only a dash. If that person's live 50 years, 70 years, it's only a dash. Now, after your dash is done, after your life here in this world is done, what will be the impact? What will be the difference that you can live here in this world for God's glory? I'm thankful that when I was 17 years old, God let me know that there are only two things here in this world that will last for all eternity. And that is the Word of God and the souls of men. The Word of God and the souls of men. God gave me this desire to focus on those two things. Reading His Word, memorizing it, studying it, you will have something that you will not lose forever. Go on soul winning, door knocking, investing in missions. You will have something that you will not lose for all eternity. And there's a reward for that. And that reward is you can give it back to God because He's worthy of everything. So I pray that this message was a blessing to you. Focus on the things that will last for all eternity. And you can start by being compassionate to the people and being obedient to God. Compassion and obedience. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Dear God, I pray that may you continue to use this church. May you continue to bring more souls for your glory. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that may you just continue to burden our hearts for the lost people in our community or wherever we are. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for everything that was done this morning. We give to you all the glory and honor, dear God. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.